everybody. Thanks for listening to the Helping Friendly podcast. This is a quick hit for the Gorge Night 2, July 16th, 2016. And we are here with John Landis, who is at Lon Jandis on Twitter. And he's actually currently driving. Were you driving back to SeaTac from the Gorge?
Yeah, we got to go drop off the car and get on the plane back to Boston.
Back to the real world. After how many shows?
9 consecutive, 11 with Wrigley, but we missed Man and Deer Creek. So, but it's been a really nice run.
Yeah, that's pretty great. So the Gorge, how was it? Tell us about, you know, the scene, about, you know, your experience there. It was your first time, right?
Yeah, I'm a Gorgian, so it was unreal. I mean, it was basically a festival without, like you said, the Ferris wheel. Really, really laid back scene. You know, security didn't care about anything.
Nice.
You know, they didn't even look at our car on the way in. Just the air of that place, like, it's such a magical venue. It's really hard to explain, but the venue itself, one of the best places to see a concert, I would say. We posted up, there's between like the floor, the pit, and the lawn, there are these terraces. There's like 7 or 8 of them, and they're flat and grass, and then there's like, it's like 10 feet of grass, and then like a 3 or 4 foot rock wall. And we just boxed out a big area of that both nights. Great view, awesome, just standing on flat grass.
No tarp.
No tarp. There are definitely plenty of those, though.
Oh, you were out west, so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, that sounds beautiful. Everybody says go there. I've even heard people say that it trumps Red Rocks, which is, I know, a very bold statement, but it sounds, everything looks great. Someday I'll go.
You're just, it's your own city, you know?
Yeah.
It's very laid back. It's kind of a walk in and out of the venue, but it's more like a pilgrimage, and you just kind of enjoy it for what it is.
Cool. So let's talk about last night. We had a pretty diverse set list and some pretty good playing. And what were your thoughts?
Yeah, amazing playing. You know, these guys, I mean, the whole first set, I could see just with Trey's posture, he was Trey face locked in the entire time.
People were definitely saying that on the Twitters last night too.
Yeah. I mean, if they were watching the webcast, they could probably see better than I could, but you know, just like I said, his posture, and he was just so locked in. They sound so tight right now. They can absolutely play any song that they want. And I'm just going to eat it all up. You know,
awesome.
I changed my name, my display name on Twitter to Blisshead. You know, I try not to be too much of a fluffer, but this is what I spend my time and money, doing, and I want to enjoy every second of it. So, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of space to be critical, but when they're playing this well, and I mean, it's really Fishman as being the anchor, really, really, whatever they want to do, I'm game.
That's a pretty good review. I'm pretty much right there with you, actually, and I haven't been on the whole tour, or most of the tour, as it were. So we had a Buried Alive opener, and I just want to go ahead and say once again on this podcast that when I hear Buried Alive opener, or I see it as the opener, I know that that is going to be, with just maybe one notable exception, a great show. And they went into some good, you know, rock and funk and dance and bluegrass, and it's a pretty good first set.
So Buried Alive, as soon as it started, someone in the pit started throwing tortillas. I didn't get the memo, but there was a big tortilla war down there.
Wow.
And people were getting Buried Alive in tortillas.
But think of really, all the quesadillas.
I don't know. Maybe it was some like a lot vendor who just wasn't having a good time and not selling enough of this shit. But it was hilarious. Yeah, bluegrass, rock, whatever. You know, Uncle Penn, always. I also consider that one to be a sign of a really great show. You know, when they're in the mood to play something like that, same thing with Buried Alive.
And when they hit it on Uncle Penn, when, you know, because I've heard some Uncle Penns that don't, you know they're in a good mood to try it, but they don't always. But this one, I felt like they did a pretty good job of it. It's a tricky song.
Yeah, it is. And I thought Mike really stood out on that one.
Cool.
You know, you guys were saying how you like how they've been changing up a lot of the bluegrass. This is I think this is the third Uncle Penn I got in those 9 shows.
Yeah, they've actually played this one more than any of the others.
Exactly.
But who can complain?
No, I'm not. And again, I think that it's just a sign of them feeling like they're on fire right now. And that's how I feel. So, you know, there was some really interesting stuff. I mean, what was it? Sleep Again and then Driver. That was happening right during the sunset. And
yeah.
It was just gorgeous.
And they bookmarked that It's Ice, which is pretty cool. It's got some...
And I always like It's Ice, you know, when they get soft in the jam, like when they would go into Swept Away or something like that. But after those two slower tunes, that funky jam in It's Ice was really welcome. They were just turning on all cylinders, man.
Mm-hmm. We'd be remiss not to mention the Bathtub Gin.
Bathtub Gin, and you know what? Honestly, wingsuit in that set.
Yeah.
I thought, you know. I remember last year at Dick's, I really thought that they could have taken it a lot further, and then this one was very, very satisfactory in the bliss section.
As you're coming out of the show, I will forgive you, but I'll point out for our listeners that Wingsuit was in the second set. But that's okay, because all your comments are still valid, because I loved that Wingsuit. I love pretty much any Wingsuit. I thought that was a good one. They did a good Halfway to the Moon right before the Bathtub Gin.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were all kind of surprised. You know, they were making some longer pauses in between songs.
Right.
I think it was like 5:55 and Halfway to the Moon had the longest pauses before them, which seems kind of regular now that they take a while before these Fuego tunes. Waiting All Night's another one. So when Halfway to the Moon came on, they stopped for almost 3 minutes or so, I think.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, I hope that they're, you know, comfortable in this, but it was a really, really good version.
Yeah, I thought it came off well, though they haven't really had much trouble with that song.
No, they haven't. I would say they've been doing that one better than the other two that I mentioned.
Yeah.
But yeah, to your point too, the Bathtub Gin, I thought it started out slow. You know, I made the pun slow gin for those in the bar or restaurant industry. but it really did pick up. It was a really nice type one, like rocker. Great way to end the set. You know, it was no Magna Gin, but it was definitely a party.
Cool. Yeah, no, it was. I you know, in my morning listen and Twitter recap of that, I think, I don't know, I don't want to quote myself. But basically, I think I said it didn't go super deep, super out there, but it was just really good, really good.
It was a textbook type one gin was, you know.
Kind of like the tweezer from the night before.
Very much like that, yep.
So then, speaking of more or less textbook type one, but we had a great Blaze On opened, and set two was underway. Do you have any particular favorites from that, from second set?
Blaze On is great. I love that tune. It's just, it was funny. Okay, so Blaze On was great. I really thought they were going to take it far. They did some pretty interesting stuff in the jam on that one. And, you know, you could hear Trey strumming that chord. It wasn't the D chord just yet, but he was just strumming right away, and I was thinking to myself, we're gonna get number lined. And as soon as we did, the lawn erupted in glow sticks. I've never seen glow sticks for a number line like that before.
That's great.
Everyone was screaming. I've never seen a crowd so excited for number line, and the band definitely fed off that energy. I thought that number line was fantastic.
Trey's solo was outstanding in it.
Right. Trey is, I'll get to the encore later, but you know, and then the Carini that we just like all just threw down right after that. I thought that that was really good. It was got a little dark. It would have, you know, I think a lot of us would have preferred it go on like about twice as long as it did. But it was, that place was rocking.
Yeah, it's hard to complain about a, you know, a nice heavy Carini after a lighter number like Number Line. So it really, it's a good change of vibe.
Right. Placement points for sure.
Yeah. So we talked about the wingsuit, and let's talk about this Mike's Groove.
Yeah. Well, wait. I think Shade happened before. Shade happened, and I don't know how people on the webcast felt about it, but for us, that we were sitting in the sun all day, just boiling. You know, I actually woke up with that song stuck in my head. It was one of my pick five, and I thought that they really did a great job on that. You know, I'm a Blizzard. I dig the ballads. You know, Trey can do what he wants. The mics was great jam. I was like, oh man, it would be amazing. I knew with the set list that we were getting that we were gonna come close to a second jam, but they really did take their time before wrapping it up. And then Farmhouse was like, it was, the setting was great. If you want to do Mike's Farm Groove, you know, the Gorge seems to be the place for it. It was a pretty, you know, people were going to say it was a pretty songy set. But I don't think that there were really any weak points overall.
They kept it moving. I mean, Shade in the first, you know, bit of Wingsuit, or the slowest bits of the set, even Farmhouse, it's hard to call it slow because Trey's solo is, oh God, it was beautiful.
Yeah, and, well, we thought it was funny because, you know, no one was expecting him to go out of Mike's into Farmhouse. So we all turned to each other and we're like, oh man, Trey just trolled us so hard.
I Am Hydrogen is a slow, quiet song too. Of course, it's a complicated composition and I prefer it to everything. But, you know, it's not like it's always, you know, rage, 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 rage right through a Mike's Groove. There's supposed to be some contrast.
It sounded like at the end of Mike's they were going to go into Simple, which would have been a lot of fun. And Hydrogen is always welcome.
Yeah.
You know, I was hoping for it after the What's the Use the night before, you know, to get some of that just hands in the air, throw your head up high and you know, soak in the notes. And that's the other thing I wanted to mention, man. Trey's tone, especially on the first night, some of these songs like Undermine, he was just so super funky, and that whole second set, his tone was just out of this world, and he knew it, you know? He knew what he was doing to us, so, you know, and we were getting a lot of that last night as well, night two. But the Weakapog, I thought, was probably the jam of the night. They really got dirty with it. It got really funky. Everyone was getting down, even though a lot of us were very tired at that point.
It's a long weekend, long day in the sun.
Yeah.
It'll catch up to you.
Late nights.
So let's talk about the encore here.
Yeah. So my favorite part is just that, you know, Fishman sits back there and he is, like I said, the anchor, man. He was just driving a lot of this show, a lot of the shows that I've seen. And I love when he gets some time, some recognition, some time to goof around, running around like a maniac, hold your head up, love you. Couldn't get any better than that. And then so he started introducing the band, Paige McConnell on keys, and then he says Mike Gordon on drums. That's the bass. he's like Jesus Christ on drums, and there's Trey behind and everyone flips out. You know, they're having so much fun. It's impossible not to love these guys when they're having this much fun.
It is contagious.
You know, the hood was so perfect. It's like a Gorge staple at this point. He took a page out of the Wendt playbook, turned off the lights. There was a big glow stick war.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He said, you know, okay, Chris, can we turn off the lights really quick now? And then the Bliss Jam with that, the lights slowly coming back on over time. Everyone was really stoked. It's a page out of Phish history getting replayed for us. So that was cool. Really exciting moment. And then, of course, Tweezer Reprise just bombs.
Surely somebody saw that coming, but I did, and I'm just sitting here, with all the time in the world, looking at the set lists and having time to mull over all these possibilities, and I completely forgot about the reprise.
None of us at the show did. None of us forgot. We were bookending Tweezer both ends.
Cool.
And, there were some, I was talking to people, and some were hoping that maybe they would open the show with it, or, like, close the first set with it, or something like that, but I had a feeling that, what better way to end a concert than Tweezer Reprise, and what better way to end two nights at the Gorge of all places.
That's good set listing. That's what it is.
Yeah, it really was. And, they're very much doing it on the fly. You can absolutely tell, I sometimes wonder how they are able to pull these songs out like this and put it together and know what's been played. I've just been to 9 shows, and I'm trying to think to myself, I really want, like, Slave. When was the last time they played Slave? I can't really remember. What's
right.
So but they seem to know, and it's I'm impressed.
Well, it sounds like you've had a heck of a weekend and a hell of a run, and we want to thank you for coming on here and talking to us about it. Real quick before we go, though, we're gonna play some of the Weekapog jam for everybody.
That was my highlight, so.
Yeah, so we'll give everybody some of that, and then I guess we're on to San Francisco, well, at least somebody is.
Yeah, there's a lot of people pushing on, so safe travels to everyone out there.
Definitely.
And I'll see you guys at Dick's if you're there.
All right, maybe I'll see you at Lockin.
All right, perfect, man.
Cool, have a safe trip, and thanks for joining us. And this is, for everybody again, this is John Landis here with us at Lon Jandis. On the Twitters, and thank you all for listening to the HF Pod, and you can find us on the internet at hfpod.com and on the Twitters at HF Pod, and you probably already knew that, so I'll stop wasting your time and play some Weekapog. Thanks, guys.
a second so I can just look at the night sky. Thanks, man. Thank you.